Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Grace Fellowship Church at 7:15 a.m.
Yeah.
Awesome. I am shocked to see this many people here. I wasn't even going to show up. I thought no one will be here. And we'll just do two services today. And so we're glad that you're here. And you caught us if you're here for the first time in the middle of a series called Respectable Sins, Sins That Fly Under the Radar. And in your bulletin, there's a tear-off. If you're visiting with us, go ahead and just fill that out, drop it in the baskets in the back. And also, if you go out the center doors right to your left, there's a welcome center there, and we'd love to be able to give you a gift as well. Last week, we learned how to complain, or I guess the better biblical term is lament. And so if I were to lament this morning, it would be the daylight savings time, and then also Brad's nice tan up here. Being in San Diego, I get an email earlier in the week saying, thank you for speaking. This enables me to be in San Diego. And I had to fight off the envy and jealousy that I'm going to be speaking about today. And so here's the difficulty with envy and jealousy. We believe that it's a hard sin to pinpoint because we don't have a problem with it. We know we do, but we really just can't identify with it. And the last time we probably felt that we put a finger on jealousy or envy in our lives is when we were little kids. Maybe when we were five and someone had a bigger truck than you did and you wanted it, so you went and got it because that's what we did. Or when your next door neighbor got the green machine, if you remember that, and you got the big wheel. And you wanted the old back brake that you didn't have with the big wheel. I don't know if anybody can identify with that. But that's something that we do. And usually when we get about to high school and above, we're probably not going to admit that we're jealous of somebody. Probably not just going to go up to someone and go, you know what, I'm just jealous. I'm envious. We're not going to do that. If anything, we probably don't even know that we're jealous. And if we were to admit it to somebody, someone may just look at us and go, you know what? Grow up. You know, get over it. And for those that maybe are jealous and would admit it, they probably don't want to go public with it because we just should get over it. Well, the question here this morning is envy a big deal? Is it a big deal? Is it a problem? Take your Bibles and look at James chapter 3, and we'll have the Word of God answer that question for us. James chapter 3, look at verses 14 through 16. It says in James 3, verses 14 through 16, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Now get this right here. Jealousy is what? It is earthly. It is unspiritual. It is demonic. It is of the devil. Is it a problem? Absolutely. It's a huge problem. Listen to what else it says. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. That sounds like a big deal to me. And today we're going to ask God to deal with. But let's start here. Let's start with a definition of envy. And it goes like this. That I resent God's goodness in other people's lives, while at the same time ignoring God's goodness in my own life. It's resenting God's goodness in my life, God's blessings that come into somebody else's life, but I'm ignoring those same good things that God's given to me. So as we work with that definition, I want you guys to really understand that as we move along here, that we're really going to look, especially at the first part of that, of resenting God's goodness in other people's lives. And in a few weeks here, I'll speak again, and we're going to talk about discontentment, and we're going to talk about ignoring God's goodness in our own life. Do we find envy in the Bible? Oh yeah. It's all over the Bible. It's destroyed just about every relationship that you can imagine in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 30 says this, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Someone who has a healthy heart, someone who has peace with other people, great things happen, good things happen, but people who have envy and jealousy, it's like a rottenness in the world. It just spoils their life. It spoils relationships. It spoils everything in their life, especially if that's the lens that they're viewing life through. And usually when this catches us, that's what ends up happening. We can very myopic and we look at things through that lens only. Look at what happened with Cain and Abel. Two brothers. It was the sin of envy that literally destroyed one of the two brothers physically and destroyed the other brother a long time after that. Remember Cain? He came to God and he said, "Here's my sacrifice," and it wasn't his best, and God rejected it. And then Abel brings his sacrifice, God receives it, and then Cain becomes what? Envious and very jealous of now Abel standing with God to the point to where he killed him. He murdered his brother. And you say, well, I would never kill anybody over envy. Well, not physically, but maybe verbally, maybe with our attitudes, we do. Envy rots relationships. We see it in the Old Testament as well in the life of King Saul. Here's a guy that was very blessed by God, called by God to lead a nation. But he got sidetracked by one guy, an up-and-coming guy named David. And he became very jealous of his standing to the point to where the crowds were cheering in 1 Samuel 18:8. And Saul was very angry and displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul got his eyes off of the work of God, put him on a man with a jealous eye, and it began his downfall. It simply spoils life. Life can be great one minute, and the second we start resenting God's goodness in someone else's life, life just gets rotten, and it spoils. And we've all been there. I think of Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. We see this when Rachel, who is unable to get pregnant, and he says this, that when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous, filled with envy of her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'm going to die." Well, now, this is kind of crazy. Would she really die? No. But life just kind of was spoiled, and she resented God's goodness in her sister's life while ignoring God's goodness in her own life. And it just spoiled her life. In each of these examples of jealousy, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but if you look at all of them, all of these examples of jealousy focus on other people as if they're the problem. And if we're going to understand jealousy this morning, we need to understand that we'll not effectively be able to deal with our envy until we realize that our problem is not a horizontal problem. Our problem is not with people. It's not with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. See, we all deal with jealousy. Saul thought it was David. Rachel thought it was her sister. Cain blamed Abel. But we all have this stuff going on in our hearts and our lives that we really can't put our finger on. But there's just a bunch of tension there. And we camouflage it and we say different things to get around it. And when we don't like people, sometimes we don't even know why we don't like them. But if we're to dig around and examine our hearts, we don't like them because they're ahead of us in some different area. They've got something that you don't have. They have somebody you didn't get. They've acquired something. Maybe they didn't work quite as hard as you did, and they have more. And it's just not fair. And if we dig around in our hearts and our response to them is usually like, I just don't like them. I just don't want to be around them. And if we do some digging and do some dredging up in our hearts, we realize that I'm just jealous of them. I'm envious of them, of what they have, of what how they got ahead. And the closer that I get to that person, the worse I feel about myself. See, we don't deal with jealousy. We just tend to distance ourselves from the people that we're jealous of rather than truly deal with it in our lives. And we say things like, "You know what? I think that guy, he's just too nice. I don't want to be around him. He's too nice? Really? Is that what we got? Or, you know what? She's just too pretty. She's too pretty. That Barbie doll thing, she's kind of plasticky, and I just can't be her. Too pretty? Or we've all said this, if I had that much money, I wouldn't have spent it like that. Or if I had that much money, I wouldn't have bought that. And we couch these terms in the things that we say, and we probably will never have that kind of money anyway. But what is that in us? What is it that would cause us to think those thoughts and to say those things and to behave the way that we behave? It's because we're jealous. It's because we're envious. And we couch it in some other term that we're just not comfortable being around them and we just can't get close. And unfortunately, we've reflected back on them as if it's their problem. And here's the dilemma that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in believing and thinking that it's a problem with the other person. That it's a problem with another individual. Therefore, I can walk around them and not have to deal with them. Because it's them. And I think the way that you make me feel and the way that you are is the problem. And here's the reason I know that you're not the problem. Is because you can't solve my problem. There is nothing you can do to solve my problem. The only thing you can do is to make my problem temporarily feel a little bit better. And what is a way that a jealous person then can feel a little bit better about the person that they're jealous of? What makes a jealous person go, ah, okay, I might even be your friend now? Huh? It's when you fail. See, this is the ugliness and the sickness of jealousy and envy. It's when you fail or you lose something. That's sick. That's ugly. And it makes me feel a little bit better when you fail. He wrecked his car. Oh, I am so sorry. No, really, I'm sorry. Wow, look at her. After the long winter, she's not going to look too good in a bathing suit at the pool. You know what I mean? We'll say things and think things that we're thinking, or someone loses something. Oh, they can't send their kids back to Christian school or to private school. I am so sorry. You know, and when we say these things and we end up thinking these thoughts and we say these things and we walk away from that and we go, ooh. And we've all been there where maybe something bad has happened to someone that we're envious of. And inside we go, yes. And then we walk away and we go, why do I feel that way? I shouldn't feel that way. What is that? It's a jealous heart. It's something that comes from the inside that we need to deal with. Because these people can't even address our problem except when we fail. The people that surface envy in you can't even address your problem because the problem isn't with them. Let me illustrate it this way. I'm going to give away an iPod today. Is that okay? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Thought maybe we need a little bit of wake-up call here. It's 7:15, all right? Let's just do that. I won't do that for the other two services. I'm just kidding, all right? I need. How many of you do not have an iPod? Do not. Okay, good. All right. Keep your hands up. All right? Okay. All right. I need three people that do not have an iPod. Lee, go ahead and just pick them out. All right. Come on up. All right. Come on up, guys. All right. Hustle, hustle. All right. Good deal. Move this back here. You guys stand right up here. Just right here. All right. So you guys don't have an iPod, huh? All right. One of you guys are getting an iPod today. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand you this. All right. I'm going to hand you this. Go ahead and open those. I'm going to hold this one back a little bit. He's thinking, what is... All right. Go ahead and take that out. All right. It's an iPod. All right. See, I'm not going to lie. All right. Good. He got an iTunes gift certificate. Go ahead and open yours, all right, good for the Apple store, all right? And he got an Apple, all right? All right, this guy right here, this is like real life, isn't it? It really is. This is like how it really is, okay? This guy gets an iPod, and he's like, yes, God's good. His blessings are on me. This is awesome. This guy's sitting here going, I got an iTunes gift card, which, you know what? It's not an iPod. But it's not an Apple, you know? And this guy, all he's got to do is look at these guys. Sheesh, I don't have a car. I don't have an iPod. If you take me out of the equation, though, all they have is to look at each other and go, man, and to compare and to be upset, all right, each other. But in this scenario, I'm in the equation, all right? And if they're upset with what they've got, who do they need to come to and be upset with? Me. I'm the one that chose to give them all these things, all right? So especially the guy with the apple, he's like thinking, good grief, this guy could have given me, you know, he's going to have to go back to his seat and think, I got an apple. He could have chosen to give me, he could have put me right there or wherever and gave me the iPod. So if he's got a problem with something, who's he going to have a problem with? Me. All right, now, here's the deal. It would be really foolish and silly for them to start arguing with each other right now and saying, oh, I can't believe you got the iPod, or I can't be your friend because you have an iPod and I got the Apple. That's silly. But that's what ends up happening with stuff and what people have and things like that. And we kind of work around them and things like that. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. All right? You can keep your gifts. You can keep the apple. It's yours. And if you're going to listen to this in by CD or internet, you don't even get an apple. And if you have a problem with that, right? And if, let's say you all go, you know what, Andre? That's really not fair. You need to give them all iPods. I'm not going to. I'm not Oprah, all right? Since Pastor Brad was gone, I took it out of his budget anyway. But the fact is simply this. Do you know who your issue really is when you're jealous or envious of? Your issue is with God. It's not with other people. It's with God. And when you dig down and we unearth it and we're saying, I kind of been ripped off, God. You owe me something that somebody else has. You owe me a different kind of body, God. You owe me a different IQ. You owe me his kind of wealth. You owe me that opportunity. You owe me those kind of kids. You owe me those kind of parents. Everything that someone else has and the advantages and the opportunities that they got to be able to get ahead. God, you owe me those things. And that's what envy says. And it ultimately has nothing to do with a category of people. Sometimes we write whole categories of people off, whether they're a religion or whether they're a political party, whether they're rich people or skinny people or athletic people or dorky people. We sit there and we can write a whole group of people off and just say, I just don't like them. And our problem is not with them. It's with God. We believe that God has ripped us off. Because God could have put us in a different family. He could have put you in a different city. He could have put you in a different marriage. He could have kept that accident from happening. He could have kept your health from taking a dive. He could have. But he didn't. And so when God's handing out all of the gift bags, everyone else got an iPod, and you got an apple. And that's just not what? Fair. Newsflash. God never claimed to be fair. After the Garden of Eden, actually, everything now is not fair. Fairness disappeared from the earth. What God's decided to do now is whatever he chooses to do when it comes to distribution of gifts, skills, wealth. And don't get me wrong, there's certainly something said to be for discipline and hard work. But ultimately, everything we have comes from the hand of God. And we've got to realize that. Just as an example of that, you can go through all the Old Testament and find out how God distributed wealth to people. There was no rhyme or reason. It was the choice of God as he wills. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about how he's going to give away wisdom. He's going to give away discernment. He gives gifts. He gives all these certain different types of things of gifts and skills. And he says this. Here's what he says. He says, and the reason, and here's how I give them, as given to us as he wills. He says, apportions literally to each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. It's as He wills. And when I look at you and I decide that I don't like you because of how smart your kids are, or I don't like you because of whatever, or she's cuter, or he called me but he didn't call you, or my parents let you, everyone else, go to the deal but I didn't get to go, and I wish I had new parents. Every time that I start to begin to think those thoughts and to go down that path, the wisest thing for me is to back up and go, whoa, my problem is not with my parents. My problem is not with my boss. My problem is not with my younger sister or my older brother. My problem is with God. Those people can't even address my problem except for when they fail or they have a setback. My problem's not with them. I'm mad at God. God owes me something, and I'm resenting His goodness in their life. Listen to what Socrates said. He said, "Envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy is the filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison which consumeth the flesh and drieth up the bones. It rots us like cancer from the inside." Sounds like James. Every disorder and evil practice, it is unspiritual, it is earthly, it is demonic. Jealousy is dangerous because it begins to shape our attitudes and behavior towards other people. And that's a problem. And when we allow this jealousy to seep down into our relationships and we don't get this in check, we can't even be a good Christian. Because the number one value that God is He's love. And the number one manifestation that you and I are supposed to project to other people is love. And when you and I show a jealous heart, we can't even love people. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is more than just verses that are said at a wedding. Paul's talking to a church here and talking about what is ultimate. He says, love is patient. In verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, it's kind. Love does not envy. There it is. You can't even carry around a heart of envy and love at the same time. You can't do it. You can't hold what God calls preeminent. And when He says to love in certain passages, we can't even do that. It's an issue between you and God. And when we experience these feelings of rejoicing at wrongdoing, look at the rest of the verses. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable, or is it resentful? It doesn't resent God's goodness in other people's lives. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. Remember when we said, oh, he wrecked his car? Oops. Really? I'm so sorry. That's a heart that is the exact opposite of love. And we've all seen relationships destroyed as a result. Father, son, mother, daughter, co-worker. We've seen the destruction. But we never say that it's jealousy. And that's the one thing that drives the division. It drives in brother-sister relationships, brother-brother, in your home. Because it's not fair. And your problem isn't even with them, it's with God. God could have made you taller. He could have given you different parents. He could have given you a different IQ. He could have given you a better hand-eye coordination. He could have allowed you to dunk a basketball. But He didn't. And He says this, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And until you do, you'll never root it out of your life. So let's look at how we might do that. How do we root jealousy out of our lives? Well, first of all, to root it out of our life, we must acknowledge and confess it to God. And if others have been affected by it, we must go to them. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." This is how people that are unregenerate act. But when the goodness of God, and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of works done by righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You want to know how to get a hold of a heart of jealousy? It's got to be the work of God in your life. You've got to address it. You've got to acknowledge your envious heart before God and confess that to him. Remember, we're ultimately mad at God. We don't need to look across the aisle at someone. We don't need to look at a coworker. It's a heart issue. We need to take it to him. He can handle it. God can handle it. He's actually probably looking forward to the conversation. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16 give us a great promise in this regard. In verse 16 it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." Because jealousy, a heart of jealousy, needs grace. It needs God's attention. We can't just root it out. I don't know if any of you have ever been there where you've just been so upset at someone else. And that's all you can focus on. And then it kind of goes back a little bit. And then they do it again. And you're like, and all that just comes right back up. That's something that God has to be able to root out of your life by his grace. And that we may receive mercy to find grace and help in time of need. When we come to God with our disappointments and our jealousy, we find grace and mercy. Why? Why would God give it to us? This is ugly. This is nasty. In the previous verse, he says why. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Christ felt it, but he refused to act upon it. There's hope, there's grace, there's mercy for it. And we bring our wishes and wants and dreams and disappointments to our Heavenly Father. We're bringing them to one who can sympathize with us. He wants to come and rush in and give us his grace so that we can be helped in our time of weakness and our need. You may also want to go to someone else and ask for forgiveness, because here's the difficulty with envy and jealousy. You see, that other person knows something's going on because you're always avoiding them, or you're just always acting weird and squirrely around them, and you kind of just work around them, and they're going, "I don't know what's this guy's problem. I don't know what's going on. They just think you're an idiot. They just think, I don't know what this guy is." Could it be that we should just go up to them and just say, "You know what? Listen, I've been jealous. I've been jealous of you. And I need to ask for your forgiveness." Because of your enviousness. You need to confess that to them. Because they're already wondering what's wrong with you. So why don't you just tell them? That's for starters. Another thing that we can do, that after we wrestle with it internally, we confess it to God, we acknowledge it to him as sin and ugly, and we may need to go to someone else because of it. But another thing that we can do for it to develop a habit in our lives is to celebrate someone else's goodness in their life. To guard against jealousy, we've got to develop the habit of celebrating God's goodness in others' lives. Listen to Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. We're just acting biblical. God says rejoice with those who rejoice. Celebrate the success and the stuff of those you've tended to envy. You need to go out of your way to express congratulations, especially to the people that drive you nuts. One of the greatest examples of that I can give to you in Scripture, remember we talked about King Saul. King Saul, jealousy over David. Well, King Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan. And Jonathan, by all rights, should have been the next in line to be the king. Jonathan probably grew up saying, "What's it going to be like one day to be king?" But who did God choose? He chose David. And by this time, Jonathan and David were buddies. They were best of friends. Saul hated David. David should have been hated by Jonathan as well. But listen to the profound statement
that Jonathan makes in 1 Samuel 23, verse 17. He says to his friend, David, don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second. I will be next. I will have your back. I will serve you. I will rejoice with you. I am celebrating your success. That is huge. Can you imagine the thing that you are entitled to, not getting? And us saying, you know what? Wow. Celebrating other people's successes. What about looking at your girlfriend and saying, you know what? You look great in that dress. Wow, you look great. Man, you know what? Congratulations on your raise. Man, I am so excited for you. Hey, you know what? That was a great idea, man. That was a great idea. I wish I had that idea, but that was a great idea. Congratulations, man. And you say, you know what, Andre? I don't know if I want to do that because isn't that kind of playing a game? Isn't that insincere? No, it's not. Was it a good idea? Yes, it was a good idea. All you're doing is saying the thing that the junk in your heart is keeping you from wanting to say. And ultimately, what you're saying is this. When you say things out loud to people, you are recognizing, I have a jealous heart. And jealous heart, I am not going to let you govern my life. I'm not going to let you rule my life. I'm not going to let you rule my behavior, my lips, my actions. No, I am going to root it out. And God, with your help of the Holy Spirit, I am going to praise other people. I'm going to break through that and allow that to help me to break the jealousy hold on my heart. I want to rejoice with those who rejoice. I'm going to go out of my way and tell people, congratulations. Man, that was great. I'm not lying to them. I'm just saying to them what my ugly, jealous heart doesn't want to say. And I'm fighting through that. And I'm making a decision. Nobody wants to live with envy or jealousy. We've just learned to camouflage it so well. Just like the three up on the stage here, would be silly for them to go back and forth and be upset about what each other's got when I'm the one that gave it to them. And just for like us, for us to be, it'd be silly for us to be able to get upset at each other for what each other's got and what we don't have or a relationship they've got. It would be silly. Because ultimately our problem is with God. So acknowledge that to him. Acknowledge that to him. And if your jealousies impact the relationship, you may need to go to them and ask for forgiveness and then celebrate others' successes. Don't resent God's goodness in other people's lives. Celebrate God's goodness to others. So let me ask you a question as we close. Is there somebody you've been jealous or envious of? Think about that. Is there somebody that you've been jealous of? And have you covered it with all kinds of stuff? But after listening today, I think my problem is with them and that whole group of people and her, and that I'm just envious. If that's you, and you would say, you know what, I am envious. I can think of a person right now that I've mistreated, that I've treated differently, because I don't like them and I just don't want to be around them. But ultimately, I realize I'm jealous of them. Would you be willing today in the next few hours to take it to God and to get alone somewhere and say, God, help me root my jealous heart out. God, begin a work in my life that only the Spirit of God can do. God, would you do that? And if you need to, would you go to that person and ask them for forgiveness? And begin celebrating God's goodness in people's lives. Because your issue isn't with them, it's with God. And that's ultimately who we need to take it up with. Acknowledge and confess it to God. Ask for forgiveness to those relationships that have impacted by your jealousy. And then celebrate those successes out loud. Not just in your heart, like, yay. Hey man, that was great. Congratulations. If that's you, I hope that you'll take care of this and allow God to help you dredge it out of your life and not allow it to fly under the radar anymore. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this series. Lord, so many times we'll admit that we complain. We'll admit that we've been profane. We'll admit that we've gossiped or slandered. But jealousy? Isn't that when I was a kid? God, forgive us for just trying not to see our sins the way that you see them. God, forgive us for allowing the messes just to kind of stay there nebulously without really dealing with them. And Lord, if there is people here, if there is one here that would say, I have a jealous heart, God, would they come to you today? Say, God, begin dealing with my jealousy. Would they confess it to you? God, you tell us to bring it to you that you are faithful and just that you will forgive us of our sins. You want to forgive us. You already know about the jealousy. God, would we just acknowledge what you already know in our lives? And Father, would our relationships with you, and would we be free to love other people? Would we be free to celebrate with them? And Father, use your word in our lives so that there wouldn't be every manner of evil and disorder. Yuck. I don't want that in my life, God. Thank you for your word and how it addresses every arena of our life. Do surgery on our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.